The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Okay, it's time now for our ultimate guide as ever, our travel guide, Fionn Davenport, travel journalist and Lonely Planet author, joins us in studio. Fionn, we're at number two.
We are in my favourite cities in the world.
Right.
This is a shocker.
Go on, tell us where. Is it somewhere really original, somewhere we hadn't thought of?
You would never have thought.
Left field.
Yeah, super left field. Left bank even.
Left bank, more left bank than left
field. More left bank than left field. It's Paris. Now, it's...
La
Vie en Rose. There's no surprises, really. In fact, probably the surprise is that it's not number one. Last week we did London, and I said that London had an imperial grandeur that no city in Europe can match.
Yeah.
And I would hold on to it. But Paris mixes its own version of grandeur with intimacy, with like effortless ease. It's... And I say this with all respect to even my mother's birthplace of Florence or Venice or anything, but Paris is so beautiful. Every street in Paris has something. Everywhere in Paris is gorgeous. I'm assuming you're both fans.
Yeah. You can't argue with Paris.
No, you can't.
It
has elegance. That's what I mean.
It's very elegant. It is monumental. It is elegant. It's incredibly theatrical. But very livable. I lived in Paris for 3 years, now many years ago, but I was young and I had dreams of, you know, an artist living in a garret, you know, buying baguettes and singing, you know, playing the mandolin.
Were you living in kind of one of those mansard roof apartments?
I lived on the Rue de l'Alpe in the 11th arrondissement. I lived above the Ballageau, which is like this club that's been there since the 1930s. And it's an incredibly kind of lively street. And then for my own mental well-being, I moved to the 17th, which is much, much quieter. So Paris is a city of villages contained within the 20 arrondissements. So you've got the périphérique, which is the road that kind of... And beyond that are the suburbs, the banlieue. But inside the 20 arrondissements, each has its own distinct identity. It's just the most walkable place. One of my favourite things to do, even after all these years, is you go to Paris, you just start walking and just turn left, turn right. Doesn't matter. You're always going to find something interesting. It's got like palaces that masterpieces of art. It's got incredible food, music, everything. Everything you could possibly want in a city, Paris has in spades. And this is a city, and then the Parisians know all about it because the great cliches, of course, of Paris is great in every respect except for the Parisians themselves.
I don't think that's a myth, I have to say.
It's a little bit of a myth.
They find them pretty friendly.
If I was calling a spade, and not that I would ever do such a thing. They kind of can be a bit rude.
Oh God, yeah,
do you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that's overstating.
French people outside of Paris, like the cliche is that the French are like, thanks a lot, Paris. You've given us a bad reputation for being curt and rude worldwide. Whereas, look, I lived in Paris. It's very difficult to make friends in Paris. Now, this is a guide for visiting, so you don't need to make friends in Paris.
Yeah.
But there's like, for example, I've had countless occasions where I speak pretty good French, but for example, you go into a boulangerie and you'd ask for une demi-baguette, s'il vous plaît. And the woman would quickly go, what? What? What do you want? And you're like, you heard me. You understood exactly what I meant. I'm sorry I don't speak fluent French the way you would.
Yeah, it's nonsense. But for somebody who maybe hasn't, I mean, I know a lot of people will have been to Paris, and you're quite right, it is stunning. But if someone hasn't been there,
yeah,
and they're now going, and they probably will only go for maybe a long weekend, what should they see?
Okay, well, I mean, what should they see? You should go, the big hitters are obviously, you want to go to the Eiffel Tower, you want to go to the Louvre, you want to go to Montmartre, you want to go to Sacré-Cœur.
You have a controversial take about the Arc de Triomphe.
Oh yeah, the views are way better from the Arc de Triomphe than from the Eiffel Tower. Yes, and I'll tell you, well, for the simple reason, Shane, what can you see from the Arc de Triomphe?
The Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower. What can you not see from the Eiffel Tower? The Eiffel Tower. Yeah. And it is worth pointing out, people think, oh, because obviously the Eiffel Tower is so tall, and it is indeed, but the Arc de Triomphe, if you go to the very, very top, it's it's deceptively very big. And because it's in the 16th, so you can look down the avenue and you see from the height, you can see all of the Eiffel Tower. You see the Tour de Montparnasse down in the distance. You can see Sacré-Cœur up on the other side.
Great views from there too.
Well, yes, absolutely. They're magnificent. It is worth pointing out. So I'm going to say this. 2 days a year, you can see the sun fall right through the center of the Arc de Triomphe. Now,
it's like Newgrange.
A bit like Newgrange, yes. Usually happens around the 10th of May or the 1st of August. But if you go onto the website of the Arc de Triomphe, they will put up what date is specific to it because they can calculate it based on the movement of the planets or whatever. So now, do you want to get the ultimate shot of the sun in between the arc? You don't go anywhere near the arc. In fact, go down the Champs-Élysées, and it's one of the few times I would say go down the Champs-Élysées, or go back even as far as the Jardin des Tuileries, which is down really end, and then you see up the Champs, and then you can see the sun going in. It's a pretty spectacular shot.
Sounds great.
My favorite place I've ever stayed in Paris was not, I was in a little kind of an Airbnb. It wasn't in a hotel, and it was in Rue du Mouffetard. Which is a little, Shane, it's like as if you went to a film set of Paris,
yes,
but it's actually Paris. And the street smells of coffee and cheese,
yes,
and wine. And literally there's French music wafting out of little artisan shops. And there are people walking with baskets, you know, feeling lemons before they...
You're going to see Amelie coming out of a cafe.
Exactly. It's exactly that. And I'd been to, the first time I was ever in Paris, I think I was about six. So I've been going to Paris, not constantly, but over the years,
yes,
many, many times. But that to me was like a magical little, yes, bit in the Latin Quarter. Just the stunning, stunning part of Paris. And, you might say it's a bit twee even, but there was something incredibly beautiful about just the daily life of that place.
I will, after the series is done, I'll talk about the cities that didn't make it. And Paris, like a couple of cities who aren't on the list, Paris already is in your mind before you even visit Paris. It's already there. You have a sense of Paris. And what Paris doesn't do, it doesn't disappoint you. So when you go to Rue Mouffetard, or you're on the Place des Vosges, or you're walking in the Marais, or even Place de la Concorde, if your sense of Paris is the grandeur, if Emily in Paris and you're in Place de la Concorde, mm-hmm, and just the sheer elegance of it, the money of it, the sense that you could never afford this, but come look if you like, you know, all of that is there and it just doesn't disappoint you. So whatever part of Paris, whether you want to go visit the Atelier of Montmartre and imagine what it might have been like for Picasso or Toulouse-Lautrec.
And actually you say that, and actually that's one of the things I quite liked, and you know, all around the Moulin Rouge and everything.
Yeah,
and you might say,
Pigalle.
Okay, it's very, very touristy, you might say, yes. But I love walking around there and trying to imagine all those artists in their day drinking absinthe and,
yes,
and arguing about politics and art.
And having yellow skin because they had no money, and so they were all sickly and all the rest. But you're right. And look, the Moulin Rouge is famous and people go and it's quite touristy. But there's other cabarets, like Madame Arthur is amazing as well if you want that experience. And it's much less touristy than the Moulin Rouge. And, you know, the Can-Can. Fine. For me, I like, Shane, you mentioned Sacré-Cœur. You know, you can overnight in Sacré-Cœur. If you had a mind to spend, to do something that's really off the beaten track in terms of experiences, if you pray for an hour in the church,
yes,
like, you know, you are entitled, and you go there in the evening time, just before it closes, they let you there for the whole night.
Wow. Interesting.
Now, I wouldn't
and
want
to. And do people do that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm often wondering, is this like, what's the purpose of it?
Homeless people do that or something? As in
perhaps.
Do that
actually,
as
I hadn't thought of
shelter?
That, yeah, perhaps that's...
And perhaps that's what it's based
or
in,
for
maybe?
Yes. I mean, ultimately, a church is a place of refuge,
yeah,
which is really one of the key roles of any place
Emily
of worship.
Emily in Paris spent a lot of time on the steps of Saint-Tré, of the Sacré-Cœur.
Before moving to Rome.
Yeah, no, she's back in Paris.
Oh, she's back in Paris.
You gotta keep up.
I do pick up. So the other, I mean, Montmartre is incredible. Montmartre is wonderful. I mean, I'll get onto it in a second, but It is worth pointing out that Montmartre is as much full of tourists as it is full of interesting museums that reflect the true history of the hill, because it's the Hill of the Martyrs, which is what the name comes from. And it was a formerly working class area. So Kira, you're talking about like those old artists. They didn't live in fancy Paris.
Of course they lived
in poor Paris, and Montmartre was poor at the time. And in the shadow of Montmartre and Pigalle, and with the cabarets, which were louche and probably quite dirty in their time, and all the and made sexy in the 20s, you know. But you have like these wonderful museums, like the Museum of Romantic Life, which is the life of a Dutch painter called Ari Scheffer. And it had like guests like Chopin and Dickens would have stayed here back in the day in the 19th century. There's a museum dedicated to Gustave Moreau. There's the Musée Jacquemart-André. There's a whole bunch of museums just in Montmartre alone.
We have to talk about food if we're talking about Paris. Yeah. And I'm delighted to say you've picked one of my favourite restaurants in the world.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go on.
Le Bon Georges?
Absolutely.
You like, yes.
Oh, I love it. It's spectacular.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Well, sorry, but I say it's not, spectacular is actually the wrong word. It's just brilliant at what it does.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bistro. It's the way, I love, there's so many little details about it. Do you know the word bistro? Bistro is the Russian for quickly. Oh. When the Russians occupied Paris in 1871 or thereabouts, they were going into these food halls and they wanted food and they kept going, bistro, 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 as in quicker, bring the food faster.
That's
and so the
term,
so the origin of the word comes from Russians yelling at French chefs to hurry up. But you're right. Here's another one, right? Inside the Eiffel Tower. Now, I made the point earlier about the Arc de Triomphe having the best views, but under no circumstances should you not visit.
I was there relatively recently. It's just amazing.
Yeah,
it's just incredible.
Absolutely want to visit the Eiffel Tower. So it's like what you want to do is go late.
Yeah.
So you want to mix that kind of lose that crowd in the middle of the day, which is enough to make you lose your mind. Now, if you were so inclined and you had the means to do it, the Jules Verne restaurant is inside the, and it's a Michelin-starred restaurant inside the Eiffel Tower. There's also Gustav Eiffel's office is in the Eiffel Tower, and very few people realize that it's there. So you can go see the office that he had. So Le Bon Georges, very, very good bistro. Very good if you're like massive flavors, really big portions. And if you like it, one of the best wine lists in the area.
Fantastic wine list.
Now, I've picked five. I've Jules Verne, Le Bon Georges, Bouillon Chartier, which is this old school Paris institution. You queue, you squeeze in at communal tables. There's no bookings or anything like that.
Steak and chips.
Yes, absolutely. Very fair prices. Really, really reasonable. There's another places in the 16th arrondissement, which again is the very bougie. 16th was always, and Bon Chic Bon Genre, BCBG, which is the French expression for bougie, effectively, and snobby and all the rest. Mm. But it's such a beautiful area. There's a really good restaurant there called Le Petit Retro.
And lastly, like in terms of price points for people listening, how does it compare now to Dublin?
Oh my God. So if you stay away from the tourist areas, do not go anywhere near the Champs-Élysées for food. Do not go anywhere near the Grand Boulevard. Like if you stay away from touristy Paris, it's incredibly affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one thing I will say, if you're staying in Paris, be used to smaller rooms. Accommodation, the room sizes are much smaller than anywhere else. But then again, you're in Paris. Like why would you spend any more in a room time than you need to be. Get out and enjoy it. Paris, my second favourite city in the world, even now, almost 40 years since the first time I went, is just absolutely stunning.
It is an amazing place. We'll always have Paris.
We'll always have Paris.
We certainly will. Thank you for that, Fionn.
Number two in Fionn Davenport's list. I can't wait to see what number one is next week. Fionn, thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.